There was an Indian that was said to have been attending church one Sunday morning at a particular congregation. Sermon that day had been really without any spiritual food. And had been very loud in spots. Now, the Indian, who was a Christian, was not impressed. Someone later asked him, said, "Well, what did you think about the sermon this morning?" This was his response. He said, "High wind, big thunder, no rain." So we've had our rain this week, but hopefully we'll have a little rain in our lesson. I was reading some time ago from a book by Tom Holland, The Preaching, Its Principles and Practice. In that book, there were a couple of pages that had some information about a subject, the perfect preacher had been found. After hundreds of years, a model preacher had been found to suit everyone. He preaches exactly 20 minutes and then sits down. He condemns sins but never hurts anybody's feelings. He's 26 years old and been preaching for 30 years. He's tall and short, thin and heavyset and handsome. Has one brown eye and one is blue. Hair is parted down the middle with the left side dark and straight and the right side brown and wavy. He has a burning desire to work with the teenagers and spend all his time with older folks. He smiles all the time with a straight face because he has a sense of humor that keeps him seriously dedicated to his work. So anyway, I think that was a student in one of his classes that had a little bit too much time on his hands, I believe, that day. Preaching and the preacher has been the central thought of many a discussion. A lot of times on the way home or over dinner or lunch. Some things are positive, I'm sure, over the years. Some things are negative. And those of us who preach are often caught in the middle. Often caught between what we see as the demands of God and the expectations of ourselves or the expectations of others. When a person enters any particular congregation or any particular religious building, for that matter, I suppose, you look around and you see pews, and usually a clock in the back that only the preacher can see. But anyway, we just have one on the front of the building. You talk about trying to keep on time. The clock was hard to see. But there are books here. There are lights. Air conditioning is working. There's a exit sign, and there are a number of things you see. But right in front. Right behind where the Lord's table is, there's a raised area. There's a raised area. And it's raised above the surrounding floor. In fact, I don't think I've ever been anywhere where the pulpit wasn't up on a raised area. And it's for what we refer to as preaching, the teaching. And that particular time of the preacher occupies anywhere from probably a third to one half of the total period of time that we're here on Sunday morning, our period of worship. Now, I don't profess to be the greatest speaker ever came down the pipe. When I was at Lipscomb, I heard Willard Collins, Vassil Barrett Baxter, Ira North, and some of the great preachers that I see that were in the brotherhood. But hopefully, as a preacher, I'm preaching God's word and bringing a message to you from the greatest book that was ever written. In the last couple of weeks, we started a series on our worship. We enter to worship and we leave to serve, is one phrase we've mentioned. When Jesus was tempted of Satan in the wilderness, as recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 4. We find that on one of Satan's temptations, Jesus responded in this manner. He said, it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan was asking Jesus to bow down before him. Verse 10. And in John chapter 4, Jesus spoke to a woman at a well. Probably not that unusual in the time, but Jesus was a Jew and she was a Gentile. Or a mixed, a Samaritan. And during the discussion that they had, they talked about worship. The woman talked about the worshiping, that the Samaritans worship God in the mountains and the hills around where they lived. And she said, well, you Jews, you worship God in Jerusalem. And Jesus says, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He says it's not the place, it's the attitude. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. They that worship God, God is a spirit, rather than they that worship God must come to him and worship him in spirit and in truth. As the early church began, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it said of those early Christians that they continued steadfastly. There was a steadfastness about their meeting together. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. In worship, we praise God. We talked about worship as far as our overall worship last week. We in worship satisfy some of our basic needs. I want to begin today, we're going to look at the different ways in which we are involved in worship to God. In our singing, when we have, when someone leads us in prayer, when we pray on our own, it's worship. When we take of the Lord's Supper, we're looking back to the time that Jesus was on this earth, and we're looking forward to his coming again. When we give of our means, we're returning to him that which he, part of that which he's entrusted unto us. Now, the first four, singing, praying, Lord's Supper, and giving, we reach up to God, don't we? We reach up to God. But when properly done, when we're preaching, we're teaching God's word, it's God reaching down or reaching out to us, isn't it? It's God speaking to us. Provided the messenger doesn't get in the way of the message. So today's lesson, worship through preaching. Worship through teaching. How in the world do we worship just because somebody's up there in front of us talking? Well, one of the things I thought about in worship is we're listening to God. If it's God's word, remember Jesus in Nazareth, he went to the synagogue on a Saturday there, and he stood up and read the scriptures, and he sat down and he discussed those scriptures that they had applied to him. So ideally, when preaching is going on, everyone is listening to the Word of God, and the Word of God is preached and taught. And we listen reverently, responsibly, while the Word of God is read, or why it's expanded upon, it's explained. And thus we worship through active listening. We worship through active listening. Now, in our education system, what do we emphasize over there? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. But if you go to a school, especially if you're getting up in age like we are, or maybe a few years back like I did when I was about 40. If we go up to school, one of the most important things we need to do is listen to what's being said. We can read the book, and that's good. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book, but he needed someone to help him, to guide him, to help him understand the Word of God. Hopefully we get that help from who we have as a teacher of our classes, whatever class, whatever age, and the one who is in the pulpit. Listening then plays a huge role in God's plan. Jesus chose to send his message and to give his message out to people through people. He told 12 men initially, you go into all the world, preach the gospel. They could say, well, why don't I just leave a note of what the gospel is and where I go when they read it? Well, there's something in it being taught. There's something in the word being taught and that we all participate. And, you know, when we go to church, are we spectators? Is that what our purpose is? Now, when I go to a movie, I'm a spectator. I look up there and I enjoy. We can enjoy preaching and teaching. But I enjoy, but I'm a part of an audience. Well, at this point, you know, God is our audience as we worship. No matter. God is speaking to us as we study His Word, as we read His Word. Someone has said the most important part of the body is the ear. It's the major doorway to the mind. When Jesus was on this earth, one of the things that was discussed by the writers of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John were how there were some who heard him and some who didn't hear him. Some who heard paid attention, some who didn't. In Matthew 17, I'll be reading from beginning of verse 1. We have Jesus' transfiguration before Peter, James, and John. Matthew 17, we'll begin reading in verse 1, and I believe we'll stop at verse 5. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elias, as the New Testament mentions. They were talking with Jesus. So here we have Moses, a great lawgiver. Elijah, one of the great prophets. And they were talking with Jesus. Peter comes into the situation here. Verse 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, I'm not sure Jesus wanted him to say anything. But anyway, Peter spoke up. Lord, it's good for us to be here. And it was. If thou wilt, though, he says, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, that's where Peter was going to say something else, I guess. Behold, there was a bright cloud that overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. In case these 3 disciples were concerned about which one the voice was talking about. Verse 6 says, when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched him and said, be not afraid. When they lifted up their eyes, Moses and Elijah were no longer there. So it was Jesus that God was speaking of. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. They've been listening to Moses before then. They've been listening to Elijah as far as explaining the law of Moses. But God says that the attention is to be refocused. In these last days, he said, the Hebrew writer says, God speaks to us through his Son, through his Word. This was God's emphatic way, really, of saying we need to hear and we need to heed the teachings of Christ. The faith that we possess comes by our hearing the Word of God, according to Romans 10:17. This is part of our hearing the Word of God, isn't it? This is part of our hearing the Word of God. Our Bible studies are part of hearing the Word of God. So there's a responsibility in hearing, isn't it? So, person in the pulpit is not the only one that God is looking to at this particular juncture in our worship period. God is looking at all of us, isn't he? God wants wants all of our attention. James said something about the responsibility of hearing in James 1, verse 22. He said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then a little bit earlier in that chapter, James says, be swift to hear. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Someone noticed when they looked at the human body that we were given two ears and just one mouth. We